Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mona Montgomery with this evening's edition of The Holic Hoax. There's no bigger chink in the Israeli coat of armor than the incident of the USS Liberty. This is a $1 billion surveillance ship belonging to the United States government, on which we had on board approximately 200 members of the highest echelon of the United States intelligence community. In other words, our finest members of the intelligence community were on board this $1 billion ship. This is a great big ship with real fine Americans on board. This ship was sitting around in the Mediterranean on May the 6th, 1967, when all of a sudden they got notification that the Jews were acting up. There was something going on. The ship correctly moved from the Mediterranean over to Israel. And with their binoculars, our finest intelligence men viewed the Israelis taking 1,000 Arabs from Egypt, marching them out to the desert, and killing them execution style with guns to their heads. Voila! Bullets to the head. Bang, bang! Now we steal the Golan Heights. That is what the Jew was up to in 1967 when the USS Liberty saw this and were prepared to testify in a international court that the Jews were out of control. The USS Liberty, our men, $1 billion ship, 100 fine members of the highest echelon of the United States intelligence community, the most highly decorated men. This is the ship that Israel decided to sink with all hands on board. They sent PT boats right up to the side of the ship and hurled missiles into her side, hoping to hit the main part of the vessel that would open a hole that would sink the ship. But they were too stupid to sink the ship. Instead, their missiles did not hit the hold, but hit a structural plank, so the ship did not sink. They were too stupid to sink the ship. So when they failed to sink the ship, they then sent helicopters to shoot down and destroy all of the lifeboats that were attached to the ship, because they knew the ship was not going to be entirely sunk, not instantly, and so they wanted to prevent our American sailors, the members of our highest intelligence community, from getting onto the life rafts and sailing to safety. You only sink life rafts in an operation where you're trying to sink all hands on board. They wanted to destroy, kill, murder, assassinate all of the American witnesses to their atrocities against the 1,000 Egyptian Arabs that they had shot execution style in the desert, and their illegal taking of the Golan Heights from Syria. They had eye-to-eye contact with the American sailors on board. The American sailors who survived this attack tell us this. They were looking directly at the Israelis, saying, "Stop, you are shooting an American ship." And the Israelis went right ahead and attacked. And yet, to this day, our American government lies to us, the American people, and with an eye to creating greater Israel for the Jew.
They'll never be as good as me. We won't let them integrate. We must. must always segregate. Keep them in their places. Nigger, nigger, tell them lies. Black face and bloodshot eyes. Crooked toes and crooked nose. That's the way a nigger goes. Oh, Martin Luther's got to go. That's one thing that we all know. We'll take him riding on a rail and lock him in the county jail. But taxes they won't ever pay. Monkey lips and pinky hair, living off that old welfare.
Got their hand out.
They might as well give up the fight. No federal judge can make them white. The job is up to you and me. Let's beat the NAACP.
Move them north.
Nigger, nigger, tell them lies. Black face and bloodshot eyes. Crooked toes and crooked nose. That's the way a nigger goes. That's the way a nigger goes. That's the way a nigger goes. That's the way a nigger goes.
It's so easy to tell a white separatist that they're full of hate without supporting what you mean by hate. Is it hateful to want to live with your own kind? Is the red bird a hater because he doesn't want to live with the bluebird? Is the fact that we're human divest us from our natural desires to love our own people or to want our grandchildren to look like our grandparents? I think because of the oppression we're looking at in terms of hate speech laws that control the speech of the Europeans and presently threaten to control our speech, we have an obligation to define what we mean when we say hate. Whenever the white man starts talking reasonably about genetics and scientific evidence of the black man's inferiority, the black man demonstrates his inferiority by getting extremely angry and using foul language and making accusations of hater, bigot, etc. against the white man just for making a reasonable inquiry into the difference between the races. Rush Limbaugh never said that McNabb was a nigger. He didn't say anything close to that. He said that in his opinion, as a narrator on the theater of sports, this athlete was being overrated by the press because he was black. That's a commentary. It's what he thought was true. I don't think he had to be right. I think as a sports commentator, he had not only the right, but possibly the duty to say what he thinks is happening in the area of sports. If he thinks that a quarterback is being overrated, he should say that. That's his job. If he thinks that the reason the quarterback is being overrated is because of his race, it's his duty to speak the truth. The problem we're having between the blacks and the whites right now is that black people do not comprehend or appreciate the value of the freedom of speech. They don't come from a tradition where speech or intellect is important. The black man comes from a tradition of cannibalism where speech is forbidden. When you're sitting around the circle of the campfire in sub-Saharan Africa 100 years ago, 200 years ago, or even today, you're not facing the same kind of civilization our founding fathers were facing when they were trying to architect a society which would further a civilization which had already produced castles, museums, and churches. Castles, museums, and churches, yeah. Now, what the black man faces and what his psyche is still geared toward is that his people are so uncreative that they don't know how to go out and kill an animal or grow food. So what they do when times get tough and there's not enough berries on the vine is they eat each other. Now, picture, if you will, that kind of civilization. You are sitting around the campfire with your parents and your aunts and your uncles and your children, and someone is going to be eaten. That's the way of your culture. Someone is going to die. Your primary goal is not to create a better mousetrap. Your primary goal is not to be the one in your family that's going to be eaten that night. So you learn to keep your mouth shut. Do you see how cannibalism alters the course of civilization and why we must not allow the black man to determine for the white man what may and may not be said? Presently, we're under a doctrine of multiculturalism, which is war against the white man, because during intermarriage, the white man is bred out. White people in America are fighting against this influence and saying, we don't want to race mix, we don't want to go extinct. But the man, the black man who announces that he hates the white race and that he has married a white woman, is simply announcing that he's a successful racial warrior. The answer is not to stop the race war. The race war is embedded in our genes. It's healthy. The answer is for the white man to fight back. Then we can once again establish our supremacy and we'll have peace in the world. Presently, the white man is not fighting back. That's what has to change. It's not right for people not to fight. It's a form of I guess you could call it sin, actually. Passivity is not healthy. The healthy person fights. The Hindu, for instance, as you know, don't eat animals. That's their position ethically. But there's a kind of an area that is the gray area between plant life and animal life, where it's hard to tell if it's an animal or a plant. And in that case, what the Hindu says is, if it doesn't fight me when I go to eat it, I can eat it. It's the very fact that the animal does not fight that indicates to the Hindu that it isn't alive, or at least not in animal form. So the worst thing in the world is to embrace a passive philosophy or to give up your fight. When you give up your fight, you're actually giving up your life. The answer to today's problems is not to stop the black man from fighting for his right to survive. It's to awaken the white man to his need to fight for his right to survive. The black man's not going to be able to silence the white man. No matter how many times he participates in cannibalistic rituals, he's not going to be able to intimidate the white man like he's able to intimidate his own kind. The black man comes with a history of cannibalism. He sits around the fire, and honestly, they sit around and decide who's going to be eaten next. This creates an atmosphere of fear. It creates an atmosphere where freedom of speech cannot possibly exist. Because if you say anything that offends the crowd, you're going to end up on a barbecue stick. This is written in the genetic code of the black man. The white man, on the other hand, knows that if he's going to continue building castles, museums, and churches, if he's going to continue sailing the seas and flying out into space, which is what the white man does, the white man is the creative race. The white man knows that in order to create these inventions, he has to be free to think, and you cannot be free to think if you are not free to speak. So there is a tension between the races. The white man wants to speak, and the black man does not want the white man to speak. Hence, the call for kill, 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 or ignore, 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 or destroy, destroy, destroy any white man who says anything that hurts the feeling of the black man. It's written in the genetic code of the black man to be this way. That is why McNabb is calling for the utter destruction of Rush Limbaugh for saying nothing more damaging but that McNabb has been touted by the press to be a better quarterback than he is. Only a black man would take so much offense at Rush Limbaugh's remarks as to call for the destruction of his career.
Have you ever been just driving around and ended up in the colored part of town? And you see an old-time one-room shack with a great big TV antenna? Then you look out in the back, you can always see a Cadillac, and inside there's about 15 niggers eating one can of beans for dinner. Now ain't that just like a nigger, so the story goes? Ain't just like to live that way, you know. Why, they haven't got one spark of ambition in their mind. They're hard-headed as a dad-blamed mule, and the only reason they go to school is so they can learn to sign their names when they become members of the welfare line. They're looking for a handout, yeah, something free. Looking for a handout from you and me. With the consent of the president, they're gonna get their way. They're gonna get their way. Now, I ain't aiming to run anybody down, but I know how they operate down in Coontown. Why, they wouldn't hit a lick at a snake if it was curling up to strike. But when their leader says, hey, nigga, demonstrate, why, them jigaboos don't even hesitate. Cause as a nigger says, them's the kind of happenings we like. They're looking for a handout, yeah, something free. Looking for a handout from you and me. With the consent of the president, they're gonna get their way. They're gonna get their way. But one day there's gonna be a stop to all this giving, and darkies, you're gonna have to account for your living. You won't be able to hold your black hand out and wait for somebody to give you your daily bread. Cause the master said you'll have to earn your salvation. fellas, you better start looking over the situation and stop causing all this trouble and be a good old nigger instead. And quit looking for a handout, yeah, or something free. Quit looking for a handout from Uncle Sam and me. Don't try to integrate. Be glad to segregate. It's better that way. Much better that way. It's better that way.
You can't overemphasize the difference between the Jew and the white man. The Jew is a yellow man. He's an Asian. We've traced his lineage. He's no more white than the average Chinaman, with the exception of a little bit of race mixing they've done with Europeans. They're not even just Turkish Asiatic. Of course, the people who are the Ashkenazi Jews, they are the Turkish Asiatics mixed with some European blood. But if you even go farther back into history, 2,000, 3,000, 7,000 years ago, you're going to find that the Jews from the House of Judah are a yellow race. They're Asian. That's why they have those brown eyes and long, thick, flat, black hair. That is an Asian trait. Their pasty white skin is not white at all. The white man has a peaches and cream complexion with a tendency to blush. The Jew does not have that. They have a sallow, yellow, white, pasty-looking skin that's typical of the Asian. So it's terribly important to keep this in mind when you analyze the Jewish character. They have a chink character, high intelligence, but not much in the morality department. Don't forget, it was the Chinese kings, I don't know the right word for that, maybe it's emperor, that used to have whimsical punishments for people when they came before them to be tried in the Chinese courts. They would devise strange tortures to punish their people. Like if a man had told a lie, they would cut his tongue out with a strange device, and there'd always be a little additional humiliation involved. I can't remember what they are, but if you check out with Ripley's Believe It or Not, these punishments are so deranged in nature that they find themselves in Ripley's Believe It or Not. This is not typical of the white race. This is typical of the yellow race. And the Kikes are a yellow race. Now, the original Jew with actual genetic roots in Israel has pretty much died out. But the new Jew is very similar to the old Jew, this new Ashkenazi Jew, this Turkish Asiatic. They draw from the same Asian blood. If you think the white race is like the Asian race, you're out of your mind. The Jews call themselves a Semitic race. But what does that mean, to be a Semitic race? As far as I can see, it means to be a mongrelized race. They are neither black nor white nor yellow. They are mainly yellow with some black, a little white, then they go back to being yellow again, then they try to whiten themselves up, sometimes a few blacks crawl in, and then they just play the game all over again. All of this mongrelization creates a very odd creature, a human being with no roots in any particular race. A floater race, a nomad race, a chameleon race. They really don't have any ethic at all, except that they support each other at the expense of all of the great races, the white race, the yellow race, and the black race. I think that's what Semitic means. It means raceless, or of all races, or having no soul. A lot of people wonder why such a nice white woman like myself would be saying mean things about the poor suffering Jews. So I'd like to explain my history just a little bit. Before 9/11 hit, I was just like everyone else. I believed that Jews were saint-like, humanitarian, morally superior people who had been tested in the fires of suffering and come out whole, some. Well, as soon as we got attacked in 9/11, I hit the chat rooms and I started listening to all manner of opinion. And suddenly I found myself being booted out of the chat rooms, and I couldn't figure out why, except that I did notice it would happen whenever the subject of Israel came up. Soon I figured out that I was not being conciliatory enough to the Jews. It was not enough that I had an open mind. There was something lacking in my support of Israel. And every time I failed to go hear to some statement supporting Israel, I would get booted out of the room. I started to question this out loud in chat. Am I being booted out of the room because I'm not supporting Israel? Boom, boom, I would get booted out again. This escalated until I started getting death threats on the telephone. And then I started to question Israel and study 9/11 and noticed that we were not being told the truth about who attacked us, and I started wondering if maybe we were attacked by Jews. My local police station was called and false reports were made against my character. Personal friends were called. My house was stalked. Photographs were taken of my house and placed on the internet with suggestions that people might like to harass me. More threats of death. My dog was threatened. I was called up in the middle of the night and I was described how they were going to torture and kill and eat my dog. All of this in relationship to my negative comments about Israel. Eventually I learned about the ADL, a group of Jews who do these things. They find out who is against Israel and they visit your house and they do things to hurt you. Well, I was not intimidated, and I started looking into other white people who had the same experience and discovered Hal Turner, who had exactly the same thing happen to him. I recorded a clip of Hal Turner talking about his experiences with being harassed by the Jews, and I'd like to play it for you now. Many people are harassed by the Jews when they speak out against Israel. It's not unusual for your home to be visited, pictures of your house to be taken, and posted on the internet with requests that people go and visit your home and harass you, even kill you possibly. I received many, many death threats in my home from the Jews right here in Politics Lobby 3, describing ways they would kill, first torture, then kill, and then eat my dog Panda. But of course I kept my dog safe. There are very, very few white people who have dared to speak up against the Jews who aren't familiar with the activities of the ADL, made up partly of Jews in this room. Of course, not all of the Jews in this room announce that they're here, just the vocal ones, the ones that have been appointed to promote Israel's position. But there are many other Jews in the room that just monitor what's being said, take tapes of our conversations, and send these tapes to various official bureaus like local police departments, local city councilmen, maybe your mayor will be sent a tape. If you work, your boss will be sent a tape. We had one chatter who was visited by the Secret Service because a false report had been given to the authorities that he had unlawful weapons. These things happen all the time. But what you have to do is what Hal Turner has done, what I've done, what the other good white people have done in the face of this kind of attack, and that's to just refuse to be silenced. Just, in fact, upstep your vocal articulation of what's being done to you, how you're being victimized, and what kind of information they're trying to silence.
So you see that some races are stupider than others. The white race, with its castles, museums, and churches, is vastly superior to every other race, and yet all of the other races are proliferating to the point where each couple has 5, 6, and 7 children, while the white couple has 1 or 2 children. Because of the fact that intelligent people only breed that number of children they can comfortably support, and stupid people breed as many children as they can, the white race has lost its niche in the world's population. In 1952, white people comprised 20% of the world's population. Today, our numbers are only 8%. This diminution in numbers of the white race, from 20% of the world's niche to only 8%, is in perfect conformity with the decision made in the 1900s by the Jewish Bolsheviks to exterminate the white man. And in fact, the white man now faces extermination and extinction. All tendencies at the extermination or extinction of the white race should be fought vigorously by all white people, and all efforts on the part of the enemy to make the white man feel guilty for wanting to survive have to be trampled completely. It's written on the genetic code of every race to survive. The white race must also survive. Thank you for listening tonight, ladies and gentlemen, to this evening's edition of The Holohoax. See you next week, same time, same station.